All right, thank you, Dr. Drohan. Our next speaker is Mr. Cole Liggett. Cole is a project scientist at the Civil and Environmental Consultants Incorporated and is also an MS candidate in Auburn University's Soil, Water, and Environmental Sciences program. Cole's talk is Assessing Alternative Uses of Iris Tubes in Constructed Mitigation Wetlands.
Good afternoon, thank you. As you said, I'm Cole Liggett, and I am an ecologist at Civil and Environmental Consultants in our Nashville office and a distance education graduate student at Auburn. We've clarified the title just a little bit. This is an evaluation of iris tubes to verify wetland hydrology in constructed wetlands. A little bit about the general area. We're located in EPA Level 4 Ecoregion 71I, which is the Inner Nashville Basin. The area is characterized by outcrops of Ordovician age limestone and generally shallow soils across the area. And the more this area gets developed, the more we encounter what we call glade wetlands, is what you see in the picture here. Glade wetlands, if you don't have experience with them, they have very shallow soils, usually less than 15 centimeters or so. And within the actual wetland boundary, you have outcrops of limestone, which may have pockets of soil that support vegetation, but they have dried algal mat and hydrology indicators such as that. The one you see in the picture we constructed as part of a permitting responsible mitigation plan. And when you, especially for mitigation, when you construct wetlands, you need to verify to state and federal regulators that you establish wetland hydrology, hydric soil, and hydrophytic vegetation. Our issue was the soils were too shallow to verify wetland hydrology by piezometers or groundwater wells. So state and federal regulators agreed that to accept visual hydrology indicators, but to supplement that lack of data, we had to further verify hydric soils through an iris tube study. So then we started thinking, well, iris tubes are a function of soil saturation and reduction, which is ultimately driven by your hydrology. So they detect sufficiently reducing conditions to poor iron reduction, and presence of reduced iron is a primary indicator of wetland hydrology. So is it possible that iris tubes could be used to verify wetland hydrology? We decided to put this to the test a couple miles down the road from the other project. We had another permitting responsible mitigation site. This is pre and post construction. You can see in the northwest corner, that's the general area that the permitted wetlands occurred. They were in Egum silty clay loam and Lindell silt loam soils, which are neither hydric. Lindell silt loam does have hydric inclusions. But again, we think they were wetlands due to the shallow bedrock. But commonly in Tennessee, the way you construct wetlands for mitigation is through a topsoil harvest. So prior to your wetland impacts, the permitted wetlands, you excavate the upper 30 centimeters of the soil profile and use that as mulching material to your constructed areas. And that's what we did here. These are actual photos of the site during construction. And this is what the site looks like now. Area B and C are our constructed wetland cells. We have a preservation area on the north side that also serves as the reference area and the overall goal of the A and B cells, or B and C cells. We have a piezometer, at least one in every wetland area, three in area C, and we have an iris tube nest, which is five iris tubes at every piezometer location, and an upland control located in a known upland area. As you can see, this is a little busy, but if you can find the yellow line in there, that is our preservation area piezometer data. With the exception of one area, which is the green line, we have pretty closely replicated the hydrologic regime of these wetlands. So we're pretty happy with that aspect of the slides of the project so far. As far as our iris tubes are concerned, we made Dr. Thorsten Knappenberger and another graduate student mix the paint themselves and shipped it to me. I assembled, stored, and installed the iris tubes following protocol and some Corps of Engineer guidance. We did our installations in four-week intervals. So over 4 weeks, we interchanged these tubes with new ones and took them back and analyzed them digitally. The way we do that digitally is we scan the iris tubes, each iris tube three times, rotating 120 degrees each turn to get a full 360 degree view of each tube. We crop and stitch those together to form one single image and use RGB values to detect areas of removal and non-removal. And then we calculate those areas to get a total percent removal of each tube. And this is what some of our data looks like. First, I want to point out towards the bottom of the slide, the National Technical Committee for Hydric Soils requires greater than or equal to 30% removal on each tube within a 15 centimeter zone in three of the five tubes. So you have to have three of the tubes with greater than or equal to 30% removal. The iris tubes you see here are the full 30 centimeter depth of installation. So the percentages you see in the table are for approximately half the tube length. And we also compared calculated percent removal versus visual percent removal because both are methods that are acceptable according to the protocols. So we wanted to kind of pro and con those methods. But most importantly, we want to point out the duration of saturation for these reducing conditions to be present. For wetland hydrology to be present, it requires 14 consecutive days of water table presence or saturation within the upper 30 centimeters during the growing season. It has to be during the growing season. And we're getting reducing conditions present with only 5 days in this area. This is the same nest, just in a different time frame. You can see we have nearly 100% removal on every tube for the entire depth of installation. So it very reducing conditions are present here, and we're still 1 day shy of the wetland hydrology requirement. But what's really interesting is in the same wetland, just on the other side of the wetland during the same time frame, we have this nest that has almost no removal in the same 13 days of saturation. You all notice there's only three tubes here. The ones that show absolutely no removal, the ones they look the exact same when we pull them out as when we put them in. We did not analyze those. We have them scanned, but for this purposes we did not. We just put them down at zero. But we believe that this drastic difference in these are due to the presence of soil organic matter. The protocol does say that there must be a sufficient amount of organic material in the soil to have a positive reaction to the iris tubes, just from visual verification or observation, I should say. There is a drastic difference in soil organic matter at these two nest locations. We do have soil samples to analyze to further verify that, but that's what we believe the difference is for these. Then we have this nest. This is the same nest as the one that was completely stripped. Again, the duration of saturation is only 2 days. We believe that this is, again, all this much reduction is likely due to the large amount of soil organic matter. But if you'll notice, right at about 15 centimeters across most of the tubes, there's a fairly consistent line of complete reduction below and nothing at all above. That's really what we're interested in. During 2016, we had a pretty drastic drought in Nashville, so not a lot of water table presence, not a lot of saturation, so we didn't have a whole lot of reaction and results to analyze. 2017 was very wet, and we have actually noticed this a lot more. It's been a lot more common. So that's really what we want to look at is the duration of saturation with the depth of reduction, as well as correlating that to our piezometer data. And so our conclusion so far after 2016 data is that reducing conditions sufficient for iron reduction have occurred with less than 14 days of saturation in the upper 30 centimeters. However, that duration of saturation required for reducing conditions to occur has been variable and likely dependent on the amount of soil organic matter. But with that in mind, during 2017, After we finish this project, we hope that we can answer these two questions. Can RSTU be used to verify wetland hydrology, as well as should presence of reduced iron be lessened to a secondary indicator of wetland hydrology, given the amount of reduction we're seeing with so dependent on the soil organic matter and not the 14-day hydrology requirement. So with that, here are my references, and be glad to take any questions.
We have a couple minutes for questions.
Yes.
How deep are your pedometers?
Pedometers go about 1 meter of actual reading depth, 1 meter. Part of the pipe is slotted is about, the lower 3/4 of a meter.
Did you measure water table depth? Are you measuring saturation with the pedometer?
Yes, saturation pedometers.
So you don't really have data on the water table depth?
Correct. Yes.
What was your rate of carbon?
We have not analyzed those. We will be analyzing those for our final conclusions, though. Yes.
I need to send your wetland
concept coming up on the calendar for site. Do you think that's something that is the entire site? Not all areas. It's not, and that was a big issue, but given the it wasn't feasible to blast the rock, the bedrock, so we just kind of had to put them in where we could. Area C that had 3 piezometers, that was the deepest soil, so that's probably the best data we will have, most consistent in that area, but most of them were, the restriction was the depth of the bedrock. Yes, sir. We have them for the duration of the growing period. The earliest we have is February and run through September.
So your response would probably be likely related to the soil temperatures as well. So one of the other reasons you're getting really rapid reduction is that you probably have soil temperatures up there at 1 degree or something like that. This time of the year, as opposed to earlier in the growing season.
Right. That we do believe that probably is a variable. We will look into that, I guess. We did not take temperature readings during that time frame, but we do have RSTU data for the duration of the growing season in the 4-week intervals.
Was there saturation for longer duration earlier in the growing season?
Yes. We did get reduction during, those were just the select, I just want to show the range of results that we have gotten so far, but it is more saturated during the early part of the growing season.
All right. Thank you, Cole.
Sorry, Cole.